Sometimes in certain cultures, we come from places where everybody lives in a little box and nobody encourages us to dream. Listen, it's good for you to dream, but the best thing is for you to have a God-inspired dream. And this morning, I'm going to tell you some of the ways you can get a God-inspired dream.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the first of Pastor Brian Grant's mini-series of messages on the life of Joseph, specifically, life lessons that can be learned from the life of this important Bible figure. Joseph, as we may know, was a highly favored young man to whom God had revealed an astounding future, but who would, nevertheless, come to learn that the road to this astounding future was equally astounding in its twists and turns, its teasing ups, and its crushing downs. Indeed, Joseph was a man who came to experience the emptiness of what it meant to have one's dreams hijacked. So if you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn with us to Genesis chapter 37, follow along as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, When Your Dreams Get Hijacked. Here now is Pastor Grant.
When your dreams get hijacked. Tim, John, and Myron were prison inmates, and their big dream was to dig a wall under the tunnel, dig a tunnel under the prison wall so they could escape. Well, they started digging. And as they dug, they discovered an unusual-looking container. It was a metal container, and they didn't know what it was. So they took this metal container out of the dirt, and Tim started rubbing the dirt off of this container. And immediately as they started rubbing it off, a genie appeared. So you know I'm not talking a true story. Immediately a genie appeared. And the genie said, this is your lucky day. The genie said, I'm going to give each of you a wish. No matter how big your dream is, whatever your wish is, it will be done. Tim thought for a moment, then he said, my wish is that I would be in Jamaica listening to reggae music. Surrounded by 50 beautiful women, eating chicken and oxtail, and sipping on rum and coke. John said, well, I dream that I will be in Hawaii, and I don't want 50, I want 100 beautiful women. And he said, I want to be in Hawaii with 100 beautiful women. I want to be sipping Mai Tais and as much Kalua pork as I desire. It was now Myron's turn. Immediately, of course, each time somebody wished, after that wish, he was gone. He disappeared. Here he was in Jamaica. John was gone. He's in Hawaii. Wow. It's Myron's turn. And Myron started crying. The genie said, Myron, what's wrong? Why are you crying? Myron said, it's going to be so lonely now that my two friends have left. I wish they were here with me. The words were hardly out of his mouth when suddenly Tim and John reappeared. Myron had hijacked their dream. I want to talk this morning on that as my theme. When your dreams get hijacked. And we're going to base as our text Genesis chapter 37. And I want to share with you three big points from this text. First thing I want to say to you this morning, God has big dreams for you. If you have your notes, for visitors, we have notes in the bulletin, and you can fill in as we go along. And that first big point I'm making, God has what?
Big dreams
are for you. Amen? God has big dreams for you. Young people are being told today they can have whatever they dream. You ever heard that? You want to be a doctor? Just work hard enough and you'll be a doctor. You want to be president? Just work hard enough, you'll be president. Now, hard work does pay. But I've come to find out that even if a dog wants to fly, no matter how hard the dog works, he ain't gonna fly. You see, dreaming is good, but not everything we dream, we're going to realize. Am I right about that? But listen, God inspired dreams, listen to me, young people, God inspired dreams can be accomplished 100% of the time. That may shock you. You say, Pastor, are you sure that's correct? Listen to me, let me say it again. A God-inspired dream can be accomplished 100% of the time. Why? Because the God who gave you the dream, the God who gave you the dream has the ability and the power to equip you and empower you to achieve his dream. God is in the business of achieving his dreams. The problem is our disobedience sometimes will derail us. God gives us the ability to fulfill the dream he has inspired us to have, but our disobedience will make us run awry. Now, Joseph had a God-inspired dream. They read it for you already, but I'm going to read it for you one more time, particularly since for those on the radio. Genesis chapter 37, verse number 5. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. This was a big dream. But do you know that God was going to allow Joseph to fulfill this dream to the minutest detail? And then Joseph had another God-inspired dream in verse number 9. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. This time the sun, the moon, the 11 stars, he had 11 brothers, bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his 11 brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers come to bow down to the earth before you? Joseph had a God-inspired dream. My friend, God has big dreams for you. Young person, God has big dreams for you. You know, you might be from a family who doesn't do much dreaming. Sometimes in certain cultures, we come from places where everybody lives in a little box and nobody encourages us to dream. Listen, it's good for you to dream, but the best thing is for you to have a God-inspired dream. And this morning, I'm going to tell you some of the ways you can get a God-inspired dream. Because it's one thing for me to tell you God has a big dream for you. The second thing is, how do I find out what is God's big dream for me? Listen, Jeremiah 29 verse 11 tells us this. Here's what God says in Jeremiah 29, 11. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And listen, if this one thing you get from this sermon, get this. God has. Is that what I said? I didn't say that. I said, God has what? Don't leave out the word big. God has big dreams for you. But you know, probably you're a bit older and you're saying, Pastor, I'm glad you're talking to them young folks because I'm so old, I don't have much time left for dreaming. Do you know that's a very wrong idea? Do you know as long as you're alive, God still has a dream for you? You know, it's very interesting in Matthew's Gospel chapter 20, Jesus told a parable, and this parable has other ramifications, but I believe it's very appropriate in this context. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 20, this farmer, he needed some workers, and some of you know the story. The farmer went into the town square at 6 a.m. and he started hiring people to do the work. 6 o'clock, he went out to get some farmers and some workers, and then more workers. And then at midday, he went for more workers. At 3 o'clock, he went for more workers. He went back for workers, guess when? At 5 p.m. And guess when work ended? Work ended at 6 p.m. Workers were hired at 5 p.m. Some were hired at 6 a.m. And when 6 o'clock came and it's time to pay, he pulls out his wallet. Let me not show you how much I got. He pulled out his wallet. He pulled out his wallet. The guy who showed up at 5 p.m. got the same amount as the guy who showed up at 6 a.m. That's grace. And I just want you to know, my friend, you might be here this morning and you're saying, man, I wish I had gotten saved earlier. I wish you were preaching this message about God has big dreams for me a little bit earlier. But right now I'm 75 or 85 and it's a little bit too late for me. And I'm here to tell you that God has a big dream for you right now. And it is my prayer, and I believe it is the prayer of the Spirit of God. It is the desire of the Spirit of God that this morning every person in this room would want to know God's dream, God's big dream for them, not just for information. You would want to know it so that you can experience God's big plan for you. Amen? God has big dreams for you. But secondly, put this in your notes. Don't lose hope if your dream gets hijacked. Don't lose hope if your dream gets what? Hijacked. You know, some preachers tell us that when you're walking with God, you will have such favor. That's the big word today. Everybody's preaching about favor. When you walk with God, you will have such favor that everything will go well. You want money? You need money? You'll get it. You need health? You'll get it. They say anything, things are going to go smooth. It's going to be a smooth sailing if you're walking with God. I wish they had checked with Joseph. Because Joseph had totally God-inspired dreams. How do I know these were God-inspired dreams? Because the whole story of Joseph bears it out. And by the way, I hope you don't miss this. Sometimes we think Joseph is just a minor character in the Bible. Did you notice that Joseph takes up from the chapter 37 to the end of the book of Genesis, about 30% of the entire book of Genesis is about Joseph. Don't miss that. Joseph is central to the whole story of the Jewish people. But listen to what happened to poor Joseph. Genesis 38, 7. Are you still in the book of Genesis? Genesis 37, verse 18. Here's what happened to poor Joseph. Now, when they saw him, his brothers, they conspired against him to what? To kill him. Then they said to one another, I'm reading verse 19. Look, the dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us kill him. Cast him into some pit. And we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. Oh, your dream. Somebody's going to come and hijack your dream. Somebody's going to say, I'm going to see what's going to happen of all these dreams.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. Plan to join us next Sunday, December 22nd, for the Miracle of Christmas, a special Christmas celebration including a mini concert and a special Christmas message from Pastor Grant. That's next Sunday, December 22nd, 10:45 a.m. at Germantown Christian Assembly. And now, let's return for the conclusion of today's message.
Verse 23. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped him of his tunic, the tunic of many colors, or the coat of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it, and they sat down to eat a meal. Boy, these were some cold-blooded boys. I throw my brother in a pit, and I'm sitting down just having a nice meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, their camels, bearing spices. So verse 20, so Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill him? Verse 27, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother. Let's just sell him. After all, he's our brother. What better to do with your brother than to sell him? Let's just sell him. And they listened. Then Midianite traders passed by, verse 28. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelite. Bye, Joseph. 20 shekels of silver. And they took to Egypt. When 17-year-old Joseph left home that morning, he didn't realize that he would be in slavery. By the end of that day, he would be in slavery for the next 13 years. When Joseph, daddy's boy, left home that morning, he didn't realize he would not see his daddy for the next 23 years. Joseph's dreams were hijacked. And what made it even more painful, they were hijacked by his own blood. Do you know that families sometimes hijack your dreams? Oh, I bet you here this morning, if we had a testimony time, I ain't going to give you the chance to testify, but if I gave you testimony time, there'd be folks here would say, you know what my brother did to me or my mother? Do you know parents hijack their kids' dreams? Sometimes by their negativity and discouragement, everything the child has, you have a better idea. You are a hijacker, a dream hijacker. I'm talking straight. And shamefully, there are parents who have hijacked their children's dreams by all sorts of abuse. In some cases, it's physical abuse. In some cases, it's sexual abuse. And if you're here this morning and you have abused your children, may God have mercy on you. But I'm here to tell you that God, here's the shocking part, he has a big dream for you. Despite what you have done, God has a big dream for you. And this morning, he is willing, if you're willing to repent and confess your sin to him, he is willing to save you and to change you. But listen, you're here this morning and you said, if you ever knew what they did to me, sometimes it's not a parent or a sibling, sometimes it's your best friend. If you ever knew what they did to me, and you know, you spend your whole life trying to figure out how to get even. Can I give you some advice? Are you still awake? Yeah. If you're awake, say amen. Yeah. Just checking. Don't get even. The worst thing, listen good, the worst thing you could do is to try to get even on those who have hurt you so badly. Listen, if you know Jesus, what you need to do is to follow Joseph's example and keep honoring God, keep obeying God, keep doing things God's way. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Because I have discovered, and you probably have too, if you study the life of Joseph, you'll find out that when we decide to obey God, when we decide to do it God's way, God will use what people meant for evil for your good. God is in the, you know, is there any God like our God? A God who can cause and use the evil that people did to you and turn it to your good. I am a witness and I can preach this morning because I've experienced the goodness of God. He can turn evil to your good. And I just want to encourage you, listen, keep walking with him. Keep following him. Keep obeying him. But here's the question. If God is so big, and if God is giving me a big dream, why is he allowing anybody to hijack my dream? Is that a reasonable question? Why does God give me a dream and then allow somebody to hijack it? Isn't God big enough to stop them from hijacking the dream? Yes. I hope you're going to follow this series, you know, because as we unravel this series, you're going to see some of the reasons, and some of the reasons have to do with you. And you're going to learn perhaps why God allowed some drama in your own life as we study Joseph, because we're going to find out there are many reasons why God allowed Joseph's dream to be hijacked. I can't go into all of them today or you won't have to come back. So I'm only going to deal with one today. Listen, put this down in your notes. God often uses our difficulties to prepare us for our destiny. Did you write that down? God often uses our difficulties to prepare us for our destiny. He often uses trials to train us. Put that down. He often uses trials to train us. You see, Joseph may have thought he was ready for his destiny, but Joseph was nowhere ready. Joseph had big issues. You know, Joseph had a big problem with pride. Did you pick it up? A huge pride problem. He was daddy's boy. And he played it to the hilt. In verse number two. You see what happened? No, listen, I am the youngest of three brothers, three of us. And we learned from before we became teenagers, we learned that you don't run and go to your parents and play tattletale on your brothers, right? You just don't do it. Am I right about that? I mean, you girls may do it. I never had no sisters, so I don't know what girls do. But we guys know, you don't go to daddy and say, do you know what Richard did? Where's he? I don't know if he told the tattletale on me. Did you do tattletale on me? But Joseph is a big grown boy. And he's going to tell daddy, do you know what they're doing? He is playing this daddy's pet stuff because what? Daddy must have loved him some more. I'm getting all my information. He had a problem with pride. Did you check out Joseph the day that they he was captured as a slave? And so his brothers had been out there for a few days, you know. They had been out there for a few days with the animals. So you can imagine them boys, they didn't even get a bath for a while. Their clothes are all messed up. They're in work clothes. They're out in the bush or wherever it is. Not much deep bush there in Israel, but they're out there. And Joseph comes. What is my boy wearing? He's wearing Armani. I don't know what the real designers are today. Is that a good one, Armani? The boy is wearing a designer clothes. You say, Pastor, did you see that in the text? Yes, it's right there in the text. The Bible says says he shows up, he's wearing a coat of many colors. The commentators tell us a coat of many colors is a highly ornamented coat. They tell you it's the type of coat that royalty wears. This boy, he's going to visit his brothers who are in the bush. Does this boy have a problem? This boy has a big problem. And he is so far away, all they see is this coat coming. Here comes the guy with the coat. I hate that boy. You see, Joseph had some problems. And he, because of these problems, he was not ready to become the prime minister of Egypt, the greatest civilization of its day. Joseph was not ready.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.